privilege for me to be here this morning, and I thank you very much for your good singing and the young men who have took it upon yourselves to honor our Lord in songs of praise to Him. And I trust this morning, as Brother Herring, my good friend, has prayed and offer up this petition, that you will also continue to pray for me for the time that I stand before you this morning. Last Sunday in this month, which is next Sunday, I thought I was a day off. Miss Arkrow corrected me this morning that I was ordained to the ministry 55 years ago next Sunday. And I don't know where 55 years has gone, but it's gone. And I wish that I could go back and start again to some degree, undo some of the things that I've done or tried to do. And yet I look back on it, and God's providence has been miraculous in my life, and I'm sure in yours in many and varied ways. But I remember when I first started preaching, that is 55 years ago, I came to church over here shortly after that, when the church was down on the highway, and came several times after that. But it's always been a special place to me, and I thank you for your continuing in the faith that was once and for all time delivered to the saints, and men that have come and served you and continued, like Brother Virgil in his ministry. But we're seeing the sunset of time now, and that comes to all of us. But we have a great example in the Bible, and a great teaching in the Bible that tells us to continue in the things which we have learned. That's the wording of the apostle. To continue in the things which we have learned. In Luke chapter 22, and beginning with verse 28, Jesus has just finished with the feast of unleavened bread, what we call today the Passover. And the Bible says in verse 19, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave unto them, that is, the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now you've got to remember that these two statements are given before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now today we take them because of what he did. Here he is telling them, in essence, this is what it's going to be. He took the bread. He's still alive now. And he says, this is my body, which is broken for you, and do in remembrance of me. Likewise, that is in the same manner, also the cup after supper. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And this has always been strange to me. I've not always been able to put all the pieces of this together, because here's a man that is speaking like he is already dead.
Yeah.
Here's a man that is teaching these people like he has already been crucified, and yet he's alive with them in the upper room.
Yeah.
And then he said, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Now you remember this, Judas was right there with him.
Yes, he was.
And I can just hear that as he spake that, "Behold," or "look, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me right now," right at this table.
Yeah.
He is here. And then he said, "And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined." Now I'll tell you, that's some kind of statement. The Son of Man goeth as it was determined. Not as it is determined, but as it was determined by God Almighty's eternal counsel and foreknowledge.
Yep.
It was determined. It was ordained. Now you better understand what this word here means. This means that it couldn't have been another way, for the simple reason that God had determined this in the councils of eternity. But it has a very timely aspect to it now. "And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And then something strange happens. And they began to look at one another.
Yep.
They began to inquire among themselves.
Yep.
Don't you know, they said, "Why, is it me?
Yep.
Is it I?" You know, Matthew, Mark, and John, and Luke and John give a little different description of this time. And the reason I've chosen Luke this morning is because it says, "And they began to inquire among themselves which of them should do this thing." Which of them would do this thing? Now I'm going to tell you this. Let me just say this. It's very elementary, I know. But it wasn't any surprise to Judas, when Judas began to betray him. It wasn't any surprise to him. The psalmist prophesied of it. The psalmist began to talk about that man that lifted up his heel against the Lord Jesus Christ. And they began to inquire among themselves and say, "Why, is it I? Am I the one?" No doubt even John, the disciple of love, began to question in his own mind, "Is it me? Can it be me?" And there was a strife among them.
Yeah.
Now get this. As strong as this language is, human nature came out, didn't it?
Yeah.
Now they understood about what Jesus was going to do. I mean, he was going to go away. He understood that. But the Bible also says there was a strife among them that which of them should be accounted the greatest. That human nature stands out with us, doesn't it? Which of us now is going to be the greatest? Jesus has already told us that he's going away. But which of us now is going to be the greatest? You'd think they'd be wondering still who was going to betray him, but that didn't last long, did it? That didn't last long. But all of a sudden, they began to say, who of us is going to be the greatest? Jesus said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is the greatest among you, let him be the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. What Jesus is saying was that the greatest among you is the one that is willing to be the servant. Yeah. The one that is willing to sacrifice. The one that is willing to give himself in the continuing of the gospel kingdom. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know today that you and I today are the benefactors of what has taken place here. We are the, in other words, the beneficiaries of what Jesus has done as the servant. The Bible tells me in Philippians 2 that he took upon him the form of a servant and became in the likeness of men, became fashioned like a man. But Jesus said, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? Yeah. But he said, I'm turning it around. But I am among you as that servant. That's right. Jesus said, I'm among you, as Brother Virgil prayed, not only as the King of all worlds, as God of all worlds, but I'm among you as a servant. And thank God that's what Zechariah called him. Behold my servant, the branch. Yes. Behold my servant, he shall grow up. He shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. Now, he gets down to brass tacks with it, and notice the terminology. Ye. The ye here is that plural personal pronoun that tells us he's talking to the same ones that he broke bread with. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you here were some folks that were the closest to Jesus that he had. They had continued with him in his temptation. Remember how that immediately after that he was baptized, he was carried up into an exceedingly high mount, and there he was tempted 40 days of the devil. There, the devil said to him, he says, I'm going to cast these stones on the ground. Now you command that they be made bread. You know what Jesus told him? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Son of Man. Then he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, political power. You know, we've got that coming up in a few days, and honest to God, I'll be glad when it's over. But I want to tell you something today. You better understand that that's important.
Yeah.
It's important. Right. It's important because not only of issues that will affect everyday people, but it will affect even and can affect the religious opportunities that we have as Americans.
Yeah.
Well, you better know there are people out there that would be happy if these doors at Macedonia Church were locked and never opened again.
Right.
They would be happy about it. Now, somebody said, well, Brother Rick, you ought to be politicking. Well, I'm not. Well, it may be too. I don't know. But all I'm saying to you is that you better be careful. You better think.
Yeah.
You better think about what's down the road. For people like me and Brother Virgil and some of the rest of us, we know that we're in the sunset of time. But you've got some more folks coming behind you. You've got some more folks coming behind you, and they are taught, and we ought to teach them to continue.
Yeah.
To continue. Go with me to the book of John, the 8th chapter. John says this, if you continue in my word, Then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The book of Proverbs said, buy the truth and sell it not. You know, that doesn't mean that you can put a price on the truth, but Isaiah explained it in Isaiah chapter 55 when he said this. He said, come ye to the waters, ho, every one of you, come to the waters, come ye and buy milk and honey without price. You can have it, my friend. It doesn't cost anything materially, but I'll tell you what it does cost you. It costs you some sacrifice. It costs you some continuing. And here is what Jesus is telling them. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And I maintain today that there is a difference in a disciple and a disciple indeed. Jesus had many disciples, Brother Virgil, but when the going got rough, they forsook him and fled. But he had some that went with him, Brother Bruce, right to the bitter end.
Yep.
Right to the bitter end. They really did. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. All of them didn't make the grade. But I'll tell you this, in the book of Timothy, and you read with me here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you notice this, or 1 Timothy chapter 4, listen at what he says here in chapter 4, and beginning with verse 13. Till I come, 1 Timothy 4 and 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do you know what that word comes from? It's a nautical term. It's a naval term, ship guiding term. Till I come, give attention. And that word means set your course.
Yeah.
Set your course. Here's what it means. Till I come, set your course. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. But not only that, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. And he's talking about Timothy now. Which was given thee by prophecy and acknowledging with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, I said to you 55 years ago next week, I came under the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Do you know what that does? The church acknowledges that we feel that this man has a gift. The laying on of hands never gave the man the gift. Never gave the man the gift. And if a man hadn't got a gift, you can lay hands on him till day after tomorrow, and he still doesn't have a gift. But if God gives a gift, and the church acknowledges that, we are taught in the word to continue in the way that the apostles did by the laying on of hands.
Yeah.
We acknowledge that. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful if we could just meditate a while? Meditate. Meditate on the things that would give us some happiness, the stress of life. I've come to the point in my life till I get stressed out pretty easy. Doesn't take much to stress me out. Doesn't take much to kindly derail the train. It doesn't take much for me to get sidetracked. And I regret that because it makes me understand where I'm at in life. But I want you to also know this today, my friend, that I can't retire from the gift that God's given. I can't retire from that. Now I'm planning on retiring or not retiring from my job. I'm planning on not taking it again, but I'm not retired. I want to tell you right now, the gift that God gives is a lifetime of occupation. Amen. The gift that God gives is a lifetime of obligation. The gift that God gives is something that God gives for a man for a lifetime. And I tell you this today, it's a struggle. Yeah. You remember, whoever stands behind this book board, it's a struggle at times.
It is.
It's a struggle at times. You know, my children are not children anymore, but you know, I've had to leave them time and time again when everybody else got to go to a ball game, I didn't go. I had to go to church somewhere. When everybody else got to go to an activity, I couldn't go. I had to go to a church function somewhere. And, you know, that didn't please me. But today I look back on that. And I want you to understand that there is no place in the ministry for a lazy preacher. He's got to be dedicated, and I said 55 years ago before 20 elders that I would dedicate myself to the ministry if God had called me to preach. And I've made so many messes, my gosh, I wish I could undo so many of them. But then there have been some times that I could almost reach up, Brother Virgil, and touch the hand of God. There's been a few times like that. Yes, sir, and I'll never forget that. But now Paul is telling Timothy, and he's not here with him, but this is what he's saying. You meditate upon these things. And here's another basic fact. Give thyself wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. That's a good place to start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Take heed unto thyself. It's easy for me to stand up here and say, well, I'll tell you right now, Brother Brandt sure does need to make some improvements. It's easy to say that. I could say that about him. He could turn around and say that about me. And I could say, Brother Virgil, I tell you right now, I believe I'd have done that different to what you did. And that may have been right. And he was probably right and I was wrong. I'm giving you that as an example. But the Bible says, you give yourself wholly to this, that you're profiting. You know, anytime anybody isolates himself, I've known preachers that have done that, and you have too, that have isolated themselves because of some kind of frivolous question. Anytime somebody gets over here by himself, he gets off on some things.
Yeah.
That's the reason we need fellowship. You understand? I need your fellowship. You need mine. I need your fellowship today.
Yeah.
And that fellowship, because we commune with one another. That's what that means. We commune with one another in a special way. I need the fellowship of brethren all over this country because I find out things. I learn things. And after preaching all those years, I'm going to tell you there's some things that still just jump out at me and grab my attention. I hadn't learned it all.
No.
And in my humble but accurate opinion, y'all got that, didn't you? In my humble but accurate opinion, I tell you right now, that's my advice to any young man. You have fellowship with others.
Yeah.
You have fellowship with others. You hear preaching from others. Because preaching is what builds the church.
Yeah.
That is God's ordained means of building his kingdom. That is God's ordained means. It's not with the programs. It's not with the youth camps. I'll go this far, it's not for the singing school. I'll say all of that. But the preaching of the gospel that is good for the sheep is good for the lamb.
Yeah.
And I affirm that today.
Amen.
And it delivers that lamb just like it does the sheep as he continues. Listen now. Take heed unto thyself and unto what? First of all, the doctrine, the teaching. What else did he say? Continue in them. You hear that?
Yep.
Continue in them. Continue in them. What did Jesus say? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. They were right there with him. Judas was there at the table. He saw the temptation, and yet God must fulfill the scripture. And Judas betrayed him for that price that he did. I'll tell you the consequences of all of that. I've had some of my own brethren to tell me that Judas was as much a child of God as Paul was. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe that then, don't believe it now. Brother Mills said one time, and I may have said it here, he said one time the Lord wanted the devil's work done, he got a devil to do it. And I agree with Brother Mills. The Bible said that he's a devil from the beginning. It'd have been better for that man if it had never been born. And the Bible says right here, woe unto that man. I'll tell you right now, the Lord works in such a way that he can take a devil and make him fulfill God's will. Amen.
Amen.
That's how strong God is. You know, that's one of the differences in us. We had a sister here not too long ago, been coming to church for years, and she got upset because one of our preachers got up and said, God doesn't love everybody. Can you imagine? That's a fundamental doctrine. You know, we don't believe that God loved everybody. If God loved everybody, everybody's going to be in heaven. You know that? Judas and all. You hear me? God wasn't obligated to love you. Some have the idea that God is obligated to love everybody. He'd be a cruel God if he didn't. And if he doesn't give you opportunity to be saved, then God wouldn't be a fair-minded God. I want to tell you right now, my friend, what God does is always right. What God does, who he saves, he saves on purpose. He determined to save them before he saved them. And because he determined to save them before he saved them, their preservation is ensured because of God's eternity and God's promise. What a wonderful state. And yet, the Bible says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, what does it do? Thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now I tell you, you've got to harmonize that. That's what it says. We believe that everyone that will ever be saved, God chose them in Christ before the world began. That's what Primitive Baptists believe. That's what distinguishes us mostly from others out there in the world. I don't know whether I told y'all this or not. Several weeks ago, our congressman came through, Mr. Adderholt, and a good friend of mine, and he brought one of the House of Lords. Did I tell y'all this when I was here before? He brought one of the House of Lords. They have a program to where in England, one of the House of Lords, one congressman will take him and visit in his area. And so the House of Lords is an appointed position. It's not an elected. The Prime Minister recommends a man to be a member of the House of Lords, and then the King approves that. Well, this man was a member of the House of Lords, and you're there till you die. That's a position you hold as a lifelong position. Well, the House of Lords gentleman was there. His name was Pottsfield, a peculiar name. But anyway, he was there, and we were having lunch out at Mentone, Alabama. Y'all know where that's at. And so, anyway, we were there, and there's six of us sitting around the table, and they were talking, and he asked me, he said in his native language, he said, Mr. Harcroft, said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm the chief elected official in my county, but I also am a preacher. Oh, he said, you are? I said, yes. What kind of preacher are you? I said, well, I don't know hardly how to describe it to you, and you being from England, but the nearest thing that I could describe it to you is in your area it would be called a particular Baptist. A particular Baptist. Generally speaking, we would believe what particular Baptists in England and Wales believe.
Yeah.
He said, I said, do you know what I'm talking about? He said, oh, yeah. No music and election. No music and election. I said, well, that pretty well sums it up.
Yeah.
I said, are you a particular Baptist? He said, oh, no, I'm Episcopalian. But he said, my grandpa and grandma, my grandmother and granddad were particular Baptists. And so we had a good conversation about that. And he's going to come back, he said. Now let me tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I want you to go with me to Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, which is about 45 minutes from here. And I said, I'm going to carry you over there and show you the particular Baptist church over there. And he said, I'm going to do that. So one day I'm going to call y'all when he comes back, and I'm going to say, the particular Baptist, the Baptist Episcopalian is going to be over here with me and all that kind of thing. Well, the fact of the matter was, my friend, that he understood to some degree what the scripture meant.
Yeah.
Election and no music. Well, he understood that we believe that God didn't love everybody. That's the point I'm getting to.
Yeah.
That God didn't love everybody. But we have some among us that don't know the difference. And that's sad.
It is.
It's sad. And I don't know what you do about that. I guess everybody's got some. I don't know. But I was actually shocked. And I don't know whether this girl is just rung into it all at once. I can't believe that. But anyway, that is the point that I'm trying to make to you, is in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. In continuing in these things, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy, that's what I'm saying to you today. Now let me tell you something, children today. You children that are here today. You young folks that are here today. Brother Ricky is on the other side of you. But I want you to listen to me today with all the earnestness I have. In a few years, you're going to be in leadership positions. In the church, in the school, maybe in the county. Who knows what's ahead? I don't, and I'm glad that I don't. But one of the most important things that you can do in your life is to continue in the faith.
Yeah.
Believing the fundamental principles that we stand for. Now, there's some things that we can disagree on agreeably because they are controverted points, as we call it. But there's some things that we must be in agreement on, Brother Worthy.
Yeah,
there's some fundamentals that we must be in agreement on. And to you young folks, you need to be schooled in the fundamentals of the faith. In the fundamentals, the basics of the faith of the gospel. Why? Because you've got a housekeeping job coming up before you. You really have. And I'm thankful to see you this morning. It's rare. But listen to this. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation, and I appoint unto you a kingdom. Now, you hear what Jesus is saying to these folks that are here now. And he's about to go away. I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. You see, Jesus had a kingdom up there, but Jesus now said, I'm going to give you a kingdom down here.
Yeah.
I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me a kingdom, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You're not going to eat and drink up there, but you're going to eat and drink down here. You see, he's talking about something that is real. He's talking about something that we must continue in. It is here that we eat and drink spiritual food and spiritual meat here in the kingdom of God that he has appointed to us.
Amen.
Now he says, as I appoint unto you a kingdom, just as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones. You see, you're going to be given authority.
Yep.
Sit on thrones. That's what he's talking about.
That's right.
Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now these men here sat on thrones. They had authority in the church. They were appointed by Jesus Christ. to a kingdom that he appointed them. And it's now in its infant form, as he's talking about. But he said, I'm going to give you authority to judge. As long as one apostle lived, there was very little heresy crept into the church. Why? Because that apostle could go and say, I walk with the Lord. We walk with the Lord. He taught us, this is wrong, get it out. But when that last apostle died, then we began to see the decline.
Yeah.
We began to see the decline. We began to see the inward roads that the world of religion made. And it's not any kind of a new thing. We just know more about it today because of the New Testament. But I want to tell you, just as they had the authority to judge, let me tell you today, the church still has authority to judge. And men would like to take that away from you. I know churches, and I personally have been threatened with lawsuits because of disciplinary actions that we've had to take against members of the church.
Yep.
My wife will tell you that. We had to exclude a girl from one of the churches I served in Boaz, Alabama because of the homosexuality issue, and then we got a call about it.
Yeah.
From some yo-yo lawyer in Jackson, Mississippi somewhere.
It happened.
Don't tell me that's not coming.
That's right.
It is. And they can sue you and sue this church and make it stick.
Yep.
As far as this world's concerned. But I want to tell you right now, you'll not be judged on what they think.
No.
But your judgment comes just like theirs did. You have authority to judge. And Paul testified to that fact when he said this. He said it is time that judgment began in the house of God.
Yeah.
He gave them that authority. He gave them authority to judge. Now don't carry that over into the contrary category. Don't carry it over to the Pharisaical side. But we have authority to judge. They had authority to judge the 12 tribes of Israel, and we still have their authority right here. This is their authority. They didn't have this, but we do. This is ours.
Yeah.
You see, and we have authority by this to judge in the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to notice something else here. Now, give me about 5 minutes. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now, he didn't call him Peter. But he said, Simon, Simon, verse 31, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Don't you know that made Peter think, well, maybe it's me that's going to betray. Maybe it's me, but it wasn't. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. We all go through a sifting process.
Yep.
Satan sift us. He sends us through times of declension, disappointment. But he told this to Simon. He said, this is what's coming for you now. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee. Brother Virgil prayed a beautiful prayer this morning. I know you've prayed. But wouldn't it be wonderful to know the Lord was praying for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lord's praying for you. I've prayed for you, son. I've prayed for you. That thy faith fail not. Now, I know some of y'all are looking at me this morning and saying, Brother Ricky, you've got a problem. And you know the reason why? I've got a cap come off right here. You can see that. And I know I look like Snuffy Smith, all right? I understand that. I look like somebody from out of nowhere. But that's been worked on, all right? So y'all bear with me. And I couldn't do anything about it because it just wasn't time to do it. But I want you to pray for me because, you know, it's hard for me to talk this right just now. But it'd be better for me when I come to the house of God. I want you to pray for me, but... My, what difference it makes to believe that Jesus is praying for you.
Yeah.
That Jesus is praying for you. Children, that Jesus is praying for you.
Yeah.
I prayed for you. Prayed for me to do what? That your faith fail not.
Yeah.
Don't let your faith fail. Continue with me in my word.
Yeah.
Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing so, thou shalt not only save thyself, but them that hear thee.
Yeah.
Oh, what a statement that is. Brother, I'll tell you today that I'd just soon stand up here and preach about the doctrine of election. How that God, somebody says, election cuts too many people out. Brother, election doesn't cut anybody out. That's what cuts you in, Brother Virgil. That's what cuts you in. Yes, sir. That's a beautiful doctrine. It's not ugly as the world would have you to understand. But that's part of the fundamentals of the faith. The fundamentals of the faith. History records that. And you listen now. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
Yeah.
He's telling him, he said, Simon, said, one of these days you're going to be converted. Yeah, when you're converted, what are you going to do? I want you to strengthen your brethren. I want you to strengthen them. He didn't say when you get born again. He said when you get converted.
Yeah.
There's a big difference in being born again and converted.
That's right.
If I've ever been born again, it's one time.
That's right.
I've been converted a lot of times. Amen.
Amen.
I've been converted a lot of times. I've changed my thinking on things. Now about the fundamentals of faith, no, I've never changed that. And I pray that you, if I begin to waver from the fundamentals of my faith, you pray that God will cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth.
Yeah.
But I affirm to you today, that's what Jesus prayed for Peter for. He said, I'm praying for you that your faith will fail not. And when thou art converted. Not if you are converted, when you're converted. That was going to happen. When thou art converted, when your thinking changed. Now, Peter had to have a special experience on the housetop to believe that it was all right for him to preach among the Gentiles, didn't he? Yeah, he did. He wouldn't go among them. You know that it's not lawful for me to go among the Gentiles. Do you know what that word told him while he's up there in that experience and that sheet let down from heaven? He said, call not what I've cleansed unclean.
Yeah.
I tell you right now, my friend, there were children of God among the Gentiles, but they didn't know anything about it. They were children of God over there. They had a work of grace in the heart, but they never heard the truth about it. They didn't know why. You know, they're children of God out here in this world. They've had a change of heart. They've had a regenerating experience, but they don't know anything about it. And you know, sometimes the gospel is like a claw hammer. It will draw or it will drive. You think about that. A claw hammer does two things. It will pull out or you can drive with it, drive a nail with it. Now, yesterday, I was working on a fence a little bit, and I pulled out a nail, and then I was going to put a wire staple in, and I missed. And if you want me to show you what I hit, I'll show it to you in a minute, all right? It wasn't a good experience. It's not a good experience. But I want to tell you today that in the life of the child of God, oftentimes experiences are not good. No. But they work for good. You see? They work for good. Yeah, they work for good. And how blessed we are. Whatever God does in our lives is good. Now, that doesn't mean we don't We disobey God. That's us. You know, the Bible tells us we ought to obey God rather than man. You know, that's what Paul said. But I want to tell you there are times that God rolls things around and takes those things that we think are terrible and tragic and brings good to our
world brings good to our person, and it doesn't often time comes just in a moment. Sometimes it's down the road. All of us are farmers, or I am, or have been. But you know what? When I sow seed, it doesn't come up just like that. It goes through a season, doesn't it? And then the season brings what's sown up out of the ground, and you're able to see it. So things in your life that you don't understand now, give it its season and its time. And here's what Peter couldn't understand. They couldn't put it together. But the Lord himself said this. And you come on with me, and I'll close with this. But the Bible says this, that as the Bible says, strengthen thy brethren. Peter, you're going to do that. But you know what then he said? He said unto him, that is, Peter said to the Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death.
Yeah.
That's how built up in the Spirit of God he was.
Yeah.
We get that way, don't we? We get built up in the Spirit of God. How do you do that? Having the right kind of diet.
Yeah.
Sitting at the right kind of table. And listen now. I'm ready to go with you, Lord. I'll not only go to prison, but I'll die for you. He said, Peter, I know you better than you know you.
Yeah.
I tell you, Peter, he called him Peter here. He didn't call him Simon. I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou even knowest me. Then he comes on and he gives us these wonderful examples of the agony of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus mocked and being smitten, and Pilate seeks to release him. He's crucified at Calvary, and then he's resurrected on the third day. The disciples' eyes are open, and Jesus' appearance to so many in that day, and yet they were his closest followers, and they couldn't put these things together. I want to tell you today, God help us to continue in these things. God help us to understand that these things are not just some fly-by-night readings that we read in the Bible, but this is the judgment of the Holy Spirit itself that we read right here. And may God help us to continue in the things which we've learned.
Yeah.
To give you folks that are here today, I pray just as Jesus prayed. I can't do it like he can, but I can pray for you that y'all will continue in the things which you've learned. And my prayer is that when I'm dead and gone, that the Lord will raise up a little boy right here that can preach rings around Ricky Harcrow and Virgil Earp. Amen.
Amen.
Raise up a little boy right here.
That's true.
I pray for that today. And I don't only pray for here, I pray for all of our people everywhere.
Yeah.
The fields are white under harvest, but the laborers are few. May God help us to labor in the vineyard, to continue in those things, and in a wonderful way, not only save ourselves, but them that hear us.
Oh.
If you're here today and you love these things that we love, then you come. We'll put your case before the church. What's your number, brother?
53.
53. Stand while we sing. And if you are consented with your mind to take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus, you come, and we'll put you in.